Paul, the Apostle by Grace, by Brother John Mitchell. Chapter 1, Introduction. While the Lord Jesus was still a child in Nazareth, probably during the early years of the infamous King Archelaus in Judea, there was born into a very orthodox Jewish family, 400 miles away in Cilicia, a little Benjamite boy, who, by the grace of God, was destined to establish the Christian religion as we know it. His parents called him Saul. Of his family, few facts are known, save that can be inferred from his own writings and some statements in the New Testament. He never names his father and only alludes to his mother as the one who, in the providence and special purpose of God, brought him into the world. Saul's only sibling recorded in Scripture is a married sister who evidently lived in Jerusalem and whose son was instrumental in saving Saul from assassination by the Jews. But again, neither of them is named. Some kinsmen are quoted in the 16th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, but opinion is divided as to whether they are associates from his own city or distant relatives. Concerning himself, Paul, as he was later known, gives useful background information. He tells us that he was a Pharisee, the son of Pharisees, and that he was brought up to live after the straitest manner of this sect. He also says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a rather distinctive title since, in general appearance, he was a Hellenist Jew from the diaspora, whose manner of speaking and writing and his use of the Septuagint version of the Old Testament betokened his Asian roots. However, some have adduced from a tradition quoted by Jerome that Saul's grandparents originated from Giscala, a town in Galilee, from where he might have claimed Hebrew origins. On the other hand, he may have been simply emphasising that wherever he was born, he was, through the total purity of his tribal descent, a full member of the Hebrew race and a true son of Abraham. The boyhood years of Saul, like those of the Lord Jesus, are hidden from us, but two assumptions can be safely made. The first is that his parents would have carefully shielded their young son from the grosser, immoral Greek and Roman influences that surrounded him in the trading centre and seaport of Tarsus, whilst at the same time giving him that wider outlook that distinguished and often divided Jews of the diaspora from their Palestinian brethren. As W.N. Ramsey says, we see in the writings of Paul how familiar he was with the Greco-Asiatic city life, and how readily illustrations from Greek games and Roman soldiers and triumphs suggest themselves to him. The second thing we see is that, dependent upon the facilities available, his parents would have provided him with the best possible Jewish tutelage on hand. Although here again, Paul's ability to quote Greek poets shows a wider education. Most probably at the age of 5, he would have attended a class in the local synagogue, where he would learn to read and write against the background of Scripture. If his family could afford it, which seems likely in view of their general status, they would have had an educated slave, or paidagogos, to take him to school and supervise him during his lessons. A practice Saul used to good effect in adult life in depicting the law as a slave conducting the believer to Christ, the greatest teacher of all. Almost from infancy, Saul would have heard from his mother stories from the Scriptures, such as that of young Samuel listening in the night to the call of the Lord, of David the shepherd boy who killed a giant and became a king, of Jonathan, a hero of his own tribe, who climbed a cliff and killed a garrison of the Philistines, and of the little servant girl who helped to cure a Syrian captain of his leprosy. For these were not fairy tales, nor even folklore, but inspiring true stories in the life of Saul's nation. By the age of 10, Saul would be studying aspects of the law, and he must have shown such ability and eagerness to learn that his parents, proud of their son's prowess, decided to enroll him at the age of 13 for inclusion in classes run by Rabbi Gamaliel, the finest and wisest teacher of his day among the Pharisees in Jerusalem. For Saul's parents, that would be the equivalent of providing a place at the former's university in academia, whether in England or America today. They pinned great hopes on their son, Saul. And for Saul, the very experience of going to the capital of Israel under the national shrine during his formative years must have directed his scholarship and his ambition toward great things. No wonder then that he advanced in Judaism beyond many Jews of his own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of his fathers. But alongside his academic prowess, Saul took with him from Tarsus a skill his wise father had equipped him with, namely tent making, using the black durable and waterproof goat's hair fabric for which Cilicia was famous. The trade was a kind of insurance that in adult life the boy would always have a skill in his fingers should he need it, which Paul certainly did, and not only for his own subsistence, but also that of his companions during his missionary journeys. Such a provision was typical of what good Jewish fathers did for their sons. But in Saul's case, it also suggests that high-quality tent-making and merchandising might have been the foundation of the family's fortunes. It could even have been that for some notable service to the Roman army in supplying tents or material, Saul's father or grandfather had been granted Roman citizenship. However it was, Saul had a birthright in this citizenship that none of the other apostles ever had, and which he was able to use as a personal and political weapon, not only for himself, but also for the welfare of the early ecclesia. The magnitude of this privilege can be gauged from the fact that a Roman soldier achieved it only after fulfilling his 20-year army engagement, and that the chief captain who arrested Paul in the temple in Jerusalem confessed that it had cost him a large sum of money to buy the privilege in advance, and moreover that he had feared when he knew that he had bound Paul, a Roman freeman, without a proper charge. Thus it can be seen that all the circumstances and privileges of Saul's upbringing served to help and to prepare him for his great work in the purpose of God and of the Lord Jesus, which was to send him far hence to the Gentiles. Of that outcome, however, young Saul had no inkling whatever on the day when, in the company of his father, he boarded one of the many ships that ferried Jews from ports in Asia Minor to Caesarea for one of the spring festivals in Jerusalem, there to begin his training to become expert in the law of the Lord and the customs of the Jews.